This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our conversation with Steve Weiss is on the way. We got to address this. We have to address this. It's something we haven't spent a lot of time about, with or about. But we continue to hear, not necessarily us, we're not creating this, nope. Okay? But we continue to hear that the Falcons somehow may be in the mix for a quarterback. Why? I need somebody to explain to me what we just did about 6 weeks ago, okay, where we went out and acquired the best available free agent quarterback on the market. We paid him a lot of money, Mike. He comes in with a resume and a guy that, you know, is respected and knows what he's doing. I don't know why the hell anybody would be thinking that we're looking to get a quarterback, whether it's early in this draft or even late. Now, if you did it late, I could accept it a little bit more. But, Mike, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I just felt that if you're going to have to buy an insurance policy for Cousins and you sign the wrong guy, you should have signed Baker Mayfield.
Correct.
You know, and thrown him more money than Tampa Bay was willing to match, if that was the concern. So, that to me, you got to get impact players. You cannot be – again, we got all like 4 or 5 picks in the top 110, whatever it is. You got to get impact players. We talk about it all the time. I mean, yes, that's the goal in every draft, but now we got to – we at least feel – now they might feel completely different. We feel we got a 3-year window to go win a championship with Kirk Cousins. Let's stack the deck, get as many impact players. Quarterback is not needed. Yes, we know if Heineke has to go in, you're going to be in some trouble because his ceiling is what he is. He's a backup. We thought maybe he could do something, and he came in for Ritter Carl, and nothing really changed, did it?
No.
He's what he is. He's serviceable. But if you want to take a flyer on like Spencer Rattler in the 4th round or, you know, Joe Milton or Jordan Travis in the 5th round, but I'm not going anywhere near a quarterback until the 4th or 5th round tops.
Are you telling me, though, we're going to waste a draft pick on a practice quarterback?
We talking about practice? Well, I mean, but how important is the quarterback to you? Because we got guys.
We're talking about practice, man.
I don't want to waste a draft pick, Mike, on a practice quarterback.
All the dudes who feel that, like, you know, they're going to take Kirk Cousins behind the barn and shoot him like a lame horse because of his Achilles, they want to go get, sorry for the visual, they want to go get somebody. No. I like Michael Penix, but now that we have Kirk Cousins, I don't want Michael Penix. I'll take a project like a Joe Milton or a Jordan Travis. Late. And then he can grow into it, get healthy, do his thing.
Late.
Yes.
Not early.
No.
Late. Okay?
And even then, Heineke's still going to be your number 2.
Correct.
And he'll be on the practice squad at the end of the day.
Because you're paying Heineke.
Bingo.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
We going to waste a pick on a practice quarterback? We better not.
I mean, I'll even take Michael Pratt from Tulane.
Well, apparently now he might even get drafted late.
Right.
We have to address this.
But no. And D-Led had it on a mock draft. Now his final mock is, thanks, Mike. It's Latu.
Did you say
Latu? Yes. And then we saw the Torrey McElhinney article from AtlantaFalcons.com. There was also talking about Penix. I don't see it. You got to get another corner. You got to get an edge rusher. You got to get some depth on offensive line, some more depth rotational defensive line. Come on.
Wait a minute, though. You're naming all these things off like we're at the grocery store.
Well, that's what you got to get.
You need eggs.
Yes.
Cereal.
Yes.
Yeah, I need some meat, cheese.
But guess what? I'm not going to go. Oh, you know what? Let me go get some prime rib. We don't need that, okay? We picked that up.
I don't need the tomahawk steak.
We got that at the butcher shop, so stop with that, okay? You want to pick up some Bubba Burgers, that's fine, but we don't need to go get some steaks.
All right. You want to talk about being hot. We better not spend one of these picks on a practice quarterback because that's what we're doing. And to me, that's wasteful.
No, I mean, why would you spend that money on Kirk Cousins? Because if he's not out there, I get it. You want to have a viable option. And if you feel long-term that Heinicke, you've seen what he is. You restructured him, by the way, in the offseason. You want to get – I mean, that would be the logic behind it. I still don't agree.
Right.
I mean, if Cousins isn't starting 15 games or 16 games out of the 17, we're dead in the water.
Something's wrong. All right. We just wanted to put it out there. I know there's a lot of talk. A lot of chatter.
They went and watched Spencer Rattler. That was a big thing. Remember that? They saw Spencer Rattler. They sent dudes to look at Mike Penix, yada, yada, yada.
Okay. And I said this to Brian McFadden, who joined us last hour. Our conversation with Steve Weiss is on the way. And coming up, I'm going to let you hear a general manager who flat out lies. Michael Penix, on some of the boards that I've heard, is number two on the list. It is Williams and it is Penix. And then everyone else. That may be hard for many of you to believe.
I would still say there's no way Penix is better than Jaden Daniels in the mind and the guesstimation. I know his accuracy was impeccable until he ran into Michigan.
Yes.
And they took him off the spot, and then he couldn't. And also, he looked very, very normal.
Yes. And part of this is, and we haven't really broken down these quarterbacks because we don't need one, okay? We're not diving into the quarterbacks as much because now this is something we're not going to pick.
It's an afterthought. Okay? And when I say afterthought, a fifth round afterthought.
But the thing about Penix is his vertical down the field accuracy, Mike, is what a lot of NFL teams like. A lot of people are on that, and they're saying, look at where our league is. Look at what he does. Nobody threw the ball better vertically down the field than Michael Penix.
Well, again, the Oregon games. I mean, if you watch Washington against USC, think of like the Pac-12 championship. Yep. I mean, he's dropping dimes. And again, especially after watching Desmond Ridder, you're like, ah! So that's what quarterback play looks like when the ball actually lands in sequence to a guy in stride. Yes, I like him. And I debated that I still think he's going to go first round.
Oh, I do too. I don't know if, listen, this is where like the Commanders thing. Yeah. Maybe they're playing a game, but what if they went Penix?
No, but we talked about this earlier with you, Jaden Daniels, guys. The dude is mobile. The Bryant McFadden talked about the lack of turnovers. The guy, all you got to do is just maybe you want to put a little bit of size on him to take some more blows, get him a dad body like Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I can work on that with him. But the dude has been money, especially on a one-dimensional LSU team that didn't have those great defenses they've had in the past. We're here to do everything. Yes, we know he had great weapons, but he got the ball to those weapons.
404-726-0929. We talking about practice.
Look, if I had the number one pick, I would. I mean, yes, Caleb Williams is still going to be that guy because you think about 2 years ago, electrifying. But Jaden Daniels, to me, is the second best quarterback in this draft, hands down.
Big O, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Somebody ever just tell you something and you're looking at him and you're like, I don't believe you. Joe Shane says he's still confident in Daniel Jones.
There's stuff out there all the time that's not true, and you really can't let it bother you. I've got a good relationship with Daniel, and we communicate. I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
I don't believe you.
Right.
You paid him because you had to, and now you're like, okay, where are we going? Mike, in 2 years, is Daniel Jones the starting quarterback of the New York Football Giants?
No. Again. He was better as he was a rookie, and then things went backwards. They were just over the barrel, and they paid this guy the coin. They're screwed. And without Saquon Barkley to help take pressure off him, I mean, this team is going nowhere. Dable does not look like such a genius all of a sudden, right?
No.
And I just think – see, the Daniel Jones Prescott – by the way, I think we mentioned this in Guy Talk. Looked like a damn hostage video. You see his eyes? He was darting around like the amateur at the Masters. Remember? He's like, what?
You know? Maybe he had one of those. What did I have that day we were up at Flower? A monster?
You had like, Carly, like a monster.
Like an 80-ounce monster.
I think it was called Monster Kidney Killer.
Carly.
Carl is drinking this thing.
But he reminded me of myself when I had that monster. I was on edge. Carl, I'm looking around.
I know I talk fast and I try to slow it down for the radio. Carl was like, and I'll say when we come back, we're talking about the Braves. We're going over this line. It's like, holy cow.
Well, the only day you didn't talk fast.
I don't even know who Justin Thomas's brother Jameis is.
That's the only day you didn't talk fast.
And for those who don't know, that's legal over-the-counter stuff we got from the Georgia Hemp Company at our golf tournament.
He is what he is. I mean, Jameis Russell could be a guy that can do what he did at times against Minnesota.
Jameis Winston?
What did I say? Jameis? Who the hell is Jameis Thomas?
I told you you're feeling good.
Yeah, I guess I am.
So that's Mike on drugs. This is your brain on drugs. This is Mike on drugs.
It was so damn funny. Because you kept going.
Huh? Dude, am I talking slow?
I don't feel like I'm talking slow.
I got to be honest. My knee feels really good right now.
It does.
Now, the only, am I making sense?
Yeah, see, the byproduct was I didn't have knee pain, but I couldn't communicate on the radio, which was a bit of a downside.
It's the best. Only time you didn't talk fast. But that reminded me of that time I had that 80-ounce monster. I'm over-exaggerating. It had to be, I don't know, 50 ounces.
Right.
And I finished this thing because Mike was like, you're kind of down the day. And by the time I finished this thing, I was like, I feel good. What are you talking about?
Carl's like, so what are you going to do after you get home? I think I'm going to go detail the car, I'm going to mow the lawn, and work on the roof.
Wow.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's what this guy looked like. Hey, let's hear from Sean Payton. Do the Denver Broncos go get a quarterback?
You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
I got to say this, Saints fans. Mm-hmm. I got to remind you guys of something. This is the same guy who thought the Saints were one piece away and drafted Marcus Davenport.
Or is that Mickey Loomis? Is that Loomis? I can't see Sean Payton drafting a defensive piece. That's got to be Mickey Loomis.
He was there, and that is the pick that they went with. They were this close to the Super Bowl, and he felt like that was the guy to get him over the top. And he didn't.
Yeah, and they got to get a quarterback. They do not have a second-round pick to offer, so if you're the Falcons, would you be willing to get a second-round pick from next year's draft? See, that goes back to our – we have this – we as fans, you and I and the listeners, feel the sense of urgency.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that management doesn't have that same vibe. Well, if you went and got Kirk Cousins, you're trying to win now. So everything you would think you'd be doing, Carl, in the draft would be predicated on winning now.
Now, yeah. And by the way, if you can stack picks, for me, Mike, it doesn't matter. If you're telling me we have multiple second-round picks next season, you can then turn those picks into maybe another first-rounder. Or maybe go getting help that you need on the field immediately. Right. You're stacking picks. Draft capital is key. So whether it's this year or next year, it's still in your bank. Like, it's in your account. So that's how I kind of look at it. Real quick, the Chargers say they need an attractive offer to trade the number 5 pick. All these teams are saying the same thing. Heard this from the Patriots. Chargers saying the same thing. So they are now saying for a fair trade next week, if we give up the 5th pick, we are looking for something that is an attractive offer. Well, what is that?
Some people, multiple ones.
Okay.
And some feel that's maybe a bit rich, but hey, why not? If you feel you get into a bidding war, and whether it's if we talk about Vikings and Broncos seem to be the number one culprits, and maybe throw the Raiders in the mix. Now, the Raiders do have a second round pick to offer, but they can sweeten the pot. Fun video, by the way, I posted at Mike Bell ATL. Speaking of the LA Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, huge fan of the Rockford Files, and that kind of lends himself to why he's living in a van down by the river. Actually, he's living in an RV right by the ocean. But there's a video that he posted, and it's like, I like the guy. I know he's not everybody's cup of vodka, but Harbaugh, he's a trip.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
Coming up, hear what Steve Weiss has to say as we will talk about our Falcons and much more. This just in. Hmm? The Atlanta Hawks are hiring a assistant general manager.
What? I thought that was Korver's job.
We're going to talk about this, Mike.
All right.
And guess where he's coming from? Golden State. It's Dukes and Bell.
Is it Travis Schlenk wearing a mustache?
NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. Steve Weiss, man, good to have you back on. Yeah, I mean, I know you've known Raheem for a long time, but what sense did you come away with once you finished that interview with Raheem and the Falcons?
In terms of?
Just his second chance. This is a second opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think he's more prepared and ready. I've been telling, you know, Falcon fans here, he's going to be better than his first opportunity to be a head coach, and certainly the interim situation that played out with Dan Quinn.
Well, he's going to be better for a lot of reasons. One, you know, he just learned a lot more. He's learned how to deal with people a lot better. And that includes from his players, the staff in the building, the coaching staff, to ownership. What also is going to help is the fact that Arthur Blank has a true, like, you know, Arthur really loves his coaches anyway, but he's loved Raheem since he was in Atlanta, went away. They've always had a great relationship. So to have that support and that familiar support is something that's really going to help Raheem as well. And, you know, and also, I mean, think about it. The past 2 years or 3 years, you know, whatever you want to think about it, they have built a foundation of talent on this football team. He is not coming to a barren cupboard like some of these other teams, like Dan Quinn and some other teams are doing with their second chances. So, you know, Raheem is very positive. He's very focused. He's got a very, very, very good staff. And that also helps him as well. So all these things in terms of just the contact he's made, the connections he's made, and the knowledge he's gained from when he was a young coach at Tampa, however long ago that was, more than a decade ago, is really, you know, he's grown so much, and it's really going to benefit the Falcons.
Our man Steve Weish on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live from Taco Mac here at Woodstock. Steve, you get any kind of inkling that the edge rushers are worth taking at 8? I'm not trying to put you on the spot as like a draft guru, but I know you're so close to an NFL network. Do you think that just – don't keep it simple, stupid, just take an edge rusher?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you would think so because, you know, we've been banging that drum for years. I mean, they haven't had a consistent edge rusher since John Abraham, guys. And think about that. What was that, like 08, 07, 08?
Right.
And it seems that way. But, you know, you also have to look at the fact, you know, last year in Los Angeles, you know, the Rams had Byron Young, a third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. And he was an excellent pass rusher, right? So they got someone to help out, but he played alongside the Kingmaker, Aaron Donald. So that helps. But – you know, you have to say if you're Raheem Morris, who is a longtime DB coach and loves his DBs, do you want to put more pressure up front or have more strength on the back end? You know, hold up the receivers for an extra beat to let the guys you're developing get there, or do you want to be disruptive up front? And I think the way they're built, you can go either way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, to win the NFL, you got to have someone who can get to the quarterback. And the Falcons just have not had a consistent winner in that category, like I said, it's John Abraham. So I don't know which way they're going to go. And do I know if Dallas Turner or Jared Verse is worth a pick at 8? Who says the Falcons are picking at 8? I mean, what's going to happen in front of them? And I expect it to be a very intriguing, you know, first 5 or 6 picks with potential trades and things like that will determine what's going to happen with Atlanta. You know, if they stay there and who's going to be available if they do or they don't.
Yeah, totally agree, Steve. I mean, we've gone around and around on these edge rushers because it's the obvious thing, and I think that's where most fans are living. But I'm with you. There's a lot of unpredictability here with where this could go, and it's not going to surprise me if they go in a different direction. Steve Weish joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What about those first 4 picks? Do you think 4 quarterbacks are going in the first 6 picks?
I do. Anyone you talk to thinks 4 quarterbacks are going now. Will it be the teams that currently hold those positions who are going to be picking them? You know, we do think Washington's going to hold on to the pick at 2, but do the Patriots at 3? See, they're kind of at the mercy of who Washington picks at 2. And if they're not in love, and I spoke with Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the Patriots, if they're not in love with the guy who's available at 3, they'll bail because they know there are teams like Denver, like Minnesota, and like the Raiders who want to get up. Right, but again, it depends who's there. That's why they're at the mercy of Washington. And then we'll see what Arizona wants to do at 4. Some team feels they've got to get up that far, or if they can trade with the Chargers at 5 and maybe get their quarterback. So the quarterbacks are going to go. It's just a matter, again, of what Washington does at 2. The draft starts at 2. You know, everyone thinks Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback, but if they don't take him, there could be a rush to try to pry New England off that 3rd pick. And with all the holes New England has on its roster, they could be tempted. But I do know that they like Jaden Daniels very much. So he seems to be the guy a lot of teams love. But When teams speak publicly about how much they love a guy, that's often, you know, some window dressing to keep them off the guy they really like.
Right. And then conversely, when you hear somebody, a media member, pooping on somebody, sometimes that's getting information from another team, hoping that guy's going to fall to them in the great poker game of the draft. Steve Weiss with us here. Steve, one thing, you've covered the Falcons for so many years, we never trade down. It's always moving up. I mean, but you just laid it out. Is it going to take somebody who maybe, if the quarterback is still there, or a wide receiver moving up? Or do we maybe still take a wide receiver knowing how our GM takes the best athlete if somebody like Roma Dunze is there at eight?
Oh, that's a tough pass. I'll say this. You know, when I talk to people from around the league, and even though they really like the Falcons roster, the one thing that they bang on them for with their draft process is they drafted really good players at non-premium positions. And when you have a high pick, they say, you know, most teams feel you have to go at premium position. And as you know, that's quarterback or people who impact the quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, corner. And they've taken wide receiver, running back, tight end. So if they go with another skill guy, look, they may say Kirk Cousins is the guy. We've got to improve our offense to get there. We'll figure it out on defense because we've got some great defensive coaches. So, again, I just think it's such a wild card because if these quarterbacks start to slip or if some of their – there's going to be a run on these offensive tackles because they're a loaded, top-heavy offensive tackle class. Some team may want to come up to eight and the Falcons push back to 12. You know, again, it's just going to be so intriguing what happens in front of them, and that's why I think a lot of the trades that are going to happen – won't happen until the draft is actually kicked off.
Steve Weiss, our guest, guys, talking all things NFL. By the way, he will be a part of the live coverage for the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. Of course, that's next week. We are counting down to it. And by the way, you know, you like going to these different cities? You like the way the NFL has done this? I mean, it used to be, right? It was in New York every year, and we knew what to expect.
Yeah, Radio City.
Yeah, I love this, Steve. I love the fact that they're taking this around the country the way they are.
Well, that's great. Like, I'll actually be in studio in L.A., but I think it is a great thing that they're giving a lot of cities, especially cities that won't necessarily get Super Bowls, right? Detroit's had Super Bowls, but they're not on the docket anytime soon. So, but look, that fan base is charged, right? Their team is really good now. They're excited. They're going to do a great job. And that's the one thing they found is these cities where they've taken it have been next level. I mean, what Philadelphia's done, what Chicago did, Cleveland, and places like that, the fans really embrace it because, you know, one thing about the draft that the NFL nails is it's the one time of year where you fuse college football fans and NFL fans. And in every one of these cities where they have it, you've got a great dose of both. And so that's why I think it's great that they're moving it around. They're giving everybody opportunities. I think Green Bay is a possibility in the future. Pittsburgh's a possibility in the future. Like, those are cities that aren't getting Super Bowls, but it's something that can really charge the fan base and get people excited again about one of the big moments of the year.
Steve Weiss with us, guys, from NFL Network here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Steve, we talked a lot earlier today about the Belichick article, the Falcons coaching hiring process, and you see Belichick getting hired by anybody next year?
It's a great question. I mean, I was asking that question last year when things started going south. I was like, based on, and it's not so much, I have the ultimate respect for Bill Belichick. People can sit here in the dynasty and everything can paint him poorly and this and that. They won ball games. Now, whether it was him or Tom Brady, you can all debate it. But I've talked to too many people and too many players who play for him who, yeah, he might have been a tough coach, but they respect the hell out of him. But with the way the hiring process has gone, he doesn't fit the mold, right? The mold is Raheem Morris. The mold is, you know, D'Amico Ryans, these younger guys who connect with players who aren't authoritarian. Like, the only real – there's very few authoritarian guys in the league right now. Sean Payton is out there, right? And, you know, he's one of those guys who comes to Bill Parcells' tree. But most of these guys are probably younger than 45. They can connect with the players in a certain way. They can hire a coaching staff in a certain way and be open-minded on how they hire their coaching staff. Belichick was going to bring – and I know this – because I spoke to some people he was going to bring with him if he were to get a job, specifically in Atlanta, who were on his staff before. And that I think, is a turnoff to some of these teams. And it was in the article because some of the people who were going to bring were failed head coaches. You know, the Josh McDaniels of the world, the Joe Judges of the world. Like, why do we want them in our building when they have shown not to be successful either on their own or without Tom Brady? So – you know, I just don't know. I mean, everyone wants to put the Dallas thing out there. That'd be intriguing. But I can't see Belichick necessarily working with Jerry Jones with the way Belichick operated the Patriot way, and Jerry Jones not giving a damn about any way but his.
Yeah, that's a great point. Steve, man, always a pleasure to get you on. Love what you're doing. Keep doing your thing, man, and we'll certainly be watching and checking things out as the draft plays out next week and look forward to talking with you once everything is settled down.
Sounds like a plan, guys. You take care.
Yeah, man, that was earlier in the week. Great time. Thanks, everybody, came out at Taco Mac, and Steve Weiss giving us some great insight. And, yeah, I know you guys were chomping at the bit. Just did another mock draft, Carl. I called it the Carl Dukes He Hates Alabama mock draft.
What do you mean?
Well, I went and got your boy. I got Dallas Turner.
Okay.
And then I traded back in the draft, and I got Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Wait a minute. What's going on here?
And then I went and Jermaine Burton. Well, it just kept Bama guys kept coming up, and so I called
strip
it the
sack. Three Bama guys at the top of the mock draft?
Yep. Yeah, so it's out there. Mike Bell, ATL. I knew the interview. We were there for it, so I just did that during the replay.
How do you feel about it is the question.
Yeah, I like the – I mean, I think if you get a starting corner, starting edge rusher, yeah, we're looking for impact here. But, again, we assume that's what this team is going to be looking for. As Steve Weiss said, you know, you might not. It might have a completely different angle on this thing.
All right, I know many of you are wondering. We mentioned this. The Hawks are hiring former Golden State assistant general manager. He had been a VP of basketball strategy and team counsel with the Warriors, but the Hawks are hiring him as an assistant general manager. I want to be clear about this. Kyle Korver's not going anywhere. He's still here. Right. Apparently, there are two separate job titles, okay? And we're going to talk to Steve Kuhnen about this, but Onsai Sala is the gentleman that they're bringing in from Golden State.
Okay.
We'll talk to Steve Kuhnen coming up.
He's got an impressive resume. Sorry to cut you off. Very impressive resume, but we had a guy from Golden State. His name was Travis Schlenk.
Correct. Yeah. So we'll see how this is going to work internally, but as of right now, nobody's leaving. Things are still Landry Fields, Kyle Korver, and they're adding a piece in Sala to be VP of Basketball Strategy and Team Council. Oh, that's what he was with the Warriors. He is an assistant general manager, with the Hawks. All right, we'll get all of this cleared up with Steve Kuhnen on the way. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man, here on Dukes and Bell. Matthew hits us up on Twitter, not X, and he says, fellas, who's in charge now with the Hawks? Well, I'm glad you asked. Steve Kuhnen's going to answer that question. Guys, apparently nothing is changing.
I am? I mean, I am.
Yes, you are. Nothing is changing. Landry Fields is still the general manager. The assistant general manager is still Kyle Korver. The new hire is going to be an assistant general manager, but he is going to be handling something completely different. And I think it's important, you know, again, for them to explain what that is and how this is going to work. But from afar, when you see this, you go, oh, well, somebody's leaving. Nobody is leaving. Okay? So that is apparently the new guy is going to be in charge of player strategy and player planning. Kyle is player development. All right? That apparently is what the deal is. We'll see what Steve Kuhnen has to say.
Onsai Sala, he does have an impressive resume as far as what his job description was there. So I'm just going to put a link up. It's an article about a 40 under 40 list for top executives in San Francisco.
Okay.
He's worked with Golden State, so you can get some, if you're curious about what his experience is.
All right, fair enough.
Mike Bell, ATL, check it out.
Big O, man. He's got Yeah Man, No Man. Let's get to it.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle is out. He'll be on after we get done tonight, which means Oren has got Yeah Man, No Man. Listen, go get some Hey Man L. Mike mentioned it. Watermelon Lime's about to drop. You'll be able to get it at your local package stores and, of course, anywhere in the state of Georgia at Publix. So go get some. Big O, man, what's going on today?
Not a whole lot, guys. Just trying to figure this thing out like you are, too, with it's a lot of cooks in the kitchen right now for the Hawks.
Uh-oh.
And just I don't mean it in a bad way because I don't know what it means just of yet, but it's just sort of the delineation of tasks, like who's going to be doing who's going to be doing what and so on and so forth. But I will say this. I do like the fact that if they're bringing somebody on with front office experience, it kind of lets you know that they're taking this offseason
seriously.
They're taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
yeah,
I agree.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. You could also say, well, what does Landry Fields need more help with this? He's not quite, I mean, a general manager, usually it's, you know, yes, it's a collaboration with that where he gets tossed around in every sport these days. But, yeah, I mean, at first blush, I'm like, what, Landry Fields needs more help? Okay. Does it mean wrestlers' kids' role has been diminished?
I don't know.
I mean, we don't. They kind of that kind of story. You didn't hear much as much about him as you did 2 years ago when those articles came out.
No, and again, I don't know if that's him taking a step back. Whoever is taking a step back. Mm. Here's what I know. However you want to fix it, if it takes 8 million people to fix it, if it takes 6 people, fix it. I don't care.
And maybe this guy comes in with a fresh set of eyeballs and says, guys, you got to blow this thing up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's going to have that power, Mike, but to say, here's from a cap standpoint where we're at, and this is how it looks, and this is how we need to fix it.
Right.
Okay, great. So I'm not going to poo-poo this thing just yet, not knowing all of the surrounding circumstances. But all I can say is, to your point, Oren, is, okay, great, you're bringing in more front office help. I'm all for that. Listen, we should have as many talent evaluators as we need to go, you know, visually see whatever it is they're looking for, whether it's abroad or in our country. We need to have people who understand the cap so we don't screw that up. And we also need to have people that get basketball, like Kyle Korver. I have no issues with Kyle Korver, who played the game, being in the front office. My thing with Kyle Korver is being a player and a talent evaluator are two different things. He's got to prove to us as fans that he knows what he's doing when it comes to playing with guys, which you didn't create the team. You're just on the team and you're playing your role versus I know how these pieces fit and I'm going to be able to help put those pieces together.
All right. Let's switch over to the NFL here, guys. Bit of a situation might be brewing in Brazil for the Eagles and the Packers game. As you all know, the Eagles and the Packers are two of one of a few teams who have green as their primary color in their jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the home stadium that they're playing in Brazil, Sao Paulo, Corinthians Arena, which is home to the Brazilian soccer team, the Corinthians.
Right.
The biggest rival for them is Palmeiras, who wears the color green, and that color green is banned in the stadium. There is an informal ban on that color in the stadium.
Okay.
A former player was actually fined by the club a few years ago for wearing green cleats. So there's talk right now that, you know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but would an opposing stadium tell NFL teams that I realize that you guys wear green, but you can't wear green in our stadium because it's against the rules?
Come on. Come on.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. No, I understand the passion for soccer fans, but it has no bearing on an NFL team coming down because we're America, Carl. We're going to show you guys how to do it down here. We're not going to make the Packers and Eagles change their colors. I mean, come on. If this is baseball or the NBA, you can come up with some alternate jersey. Not the way it works in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's two different sports, right? I mean, come on. You're going to embrace your visitors from another country.
Yeah, of course you should.
Those green. Those rules don't apply. Or there's no way they're going to be able to pull that off.
There are signs in the stadium, too, that actually say green is banned.
Well, you know, I would hate the thought of some physical violence or misfortune happening to an Eagles fan who traveled down to Brazil.
Good luck.
Gosh, that would be awful, Carl.
Mike, you know what? You say that with such sincerity.
I hate the idea that somebody from Philadelphia could come down there and actually be menaced by some fans. That would be awful, Carl. Oh, that would be wrong.
The thought of a Philly fan being a pro telling him to take his green stuff on, there'd be a problem. And the Philly fans respond.
Could you imagine? There are multiple fights that have broken out here at the stadium this afternoon. Yeah. We'll see. Listen, I'm curious to see how the NFL plays that. But great. That tells you the intensity of those rivals.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely it does. We're going to stay here in the NFL here. Mike McDonald is a new coach up in Seattle, replacing longtime coach Pete Carroll. He's coming in, and he's making some changes, guys. There was a basketball hoop that used to be in the players' kind of like area.
Mm-hmm.
He took that out.
Oh.
He also took down pictures or blown up pictures of stars, players, and famous moments from the Carroll era. There was a wall that had that on there.
Oh.
He took that all off the wall. So coming in, it's like, hey, I understand what happened in the Pete Carroll era before. Guys won a Super Bowl, but it's all new. I'm the new coach. I'm the guy. Going to start new. So, yeah, man, no, man. Coming in and just sort of blowing things up from the past of Pete Carroll.
Well, Mike, first let's start with this. I mean, what did Dan Quinn just do with the Commanders?
Well, obviously, other than doing really hard blank with good people, I set the new tone. If you saw Dan Quinn, he put the new message up on there in their big giant meeting room, which says, anytime, anybody, anywhere. But I do think there's something to be said, though, for the heritage of your team, you know, and I don't know how many guys are like, I miss Pete. I mean, I think it's a bit of a D move, if I'm honest.
I kind of agree with Mike on this. Here's the deal. They won Super Bowls, right? They went to a couple, and they won one. They should have won two.
Winning legacy. To me, that – now, I don't want to go down this road like saying, like, Joe Judge. A lot of you folks are wondering who Joe Judge is, but I'll tell you this. It's my squad, and I'm going to put my – no, I mean – I don't know. I don't know if it's because some people, like fans and sports writers, fans and sports writers will sit there and go, "Oh, is this guy Napoleon now? He's got to come on. You got a great legacy. Pete Carroll was the steward of the greatest success the team ever had."
I totally agree. And you embrace that, by the way. You don't tear it down and say we're going to start anew. It is a new era with you there. You can add to it, but you can't take away what Pete Carroll did. He can't take away what he accomplished and what those teams accomplished. So I think it's silly. If you're going to put up new slogans, listen, I think there'll be new slogans up at Flower Branch, which, you know, this is a new regime, new team, so be it. I'm all for that. But if there are great players that you're embracing and great moments in Falcon history, you can't take that away from anybody. So I think it's kind of stupid.
And McDonald was even one of the finalists here. I mean, we liked him. He was the top three, according to the ESPN article.
All righty, guys. We are in the age right now, or the era, so to speak, of a lot of hip-hop diss tracks are going around. You got Kendrick Lamar dissing Drake. You got Drake dissing Metro Boomin. You got Rick Ross dissing Drake. The diss songs, though, gentlemen, have trickled over into the pop world, particularly one, Taylor Swift.
What?
She released her new album this morning, The Tortured Poets Department, which includes a song called The Alchemy that details her relationship with Travis Kelce. There is a line in the song, gentlemen, who people believe is aimed at a certain somebody. The line is, "Touchdown, call the amateurs, and cut them from the team." People think that line is in reference to one Kadarius Toney.
Oh!
And the fact that during the infamous Kadarius play where he was offsides, Travis hits the lateral, Kadarius scores, and all of a sudden he gets called back.
And this apparently resonated with Taylor Swift, Carl, that she must pick up pen and paper and commit
it so deeply to the bone that she had to go and include that line in her new album, Tortured Poets Department. Going at Kadarius Toney, Taylor Swift, yeah, man, no, man.
Well, listen, first of all, I didn't know she was that deep in the game. I mean, honestly, I had no idea that she was like, yeah, I'm going to put a little diss line in here for this person. It's creative as hell. I wouldn't have guessed that unless, again, as they do, Mike, all the Taylor Swift fans, you know, Beyonce's fans do it too. They analyze every single line, and they're willing to tell you what it is, what it isn't. Oh, she's talking about Jay. She's not talking about Jay. She's talking about Kelce. But it is interesting. Have you heard the album, by the way? Because our own Will Guerra said he was taking a break from listening today so he could do traffic here on the radio station.
I have not heard any of it yet. The wife likes Taylor. Maybe at some point she'll bump some when we're in the house. But I don't know if I'm going to go out myself and kind of listen to it, but we'll see what happens.
Well, Will actually, he loves Taylor Swift so much he actually listened to it backwards, Carl. And apparently there is some backward masking that says, "Cut Tony. Zoom, cut Tony." Butterfingers cut Tony. So yeah, so she's obviously she was at that game and it had an impact on her, Carl.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if she ever addresses it. Because here's the deal with these diss tracks, right? And didn't Kendrick Lamar apologize or something?
J. Cole came out and said that he wasn't gonna respond and it's all love. And if anybody wants to respond back to him, he just says, it started with a J. Cole track, then Kendrick, and now it's like I'm going to turn my other cheek, gentlemen. Go ahead and do what you want to do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, it's funner when you guys kind of go back at each other, but that's just me.
Taking the high road.
Yeah, it's cool. Listen, man, it's music. It's not that serious, right?
Right. Right.
Apparently not. I don't know.
As long as it's all fun and games and nobody gets hurt.
That's exactly right. All right, man. Good stuff. I wasn't familiar with that Taylor Swift line, but now I'm going to listen. I am going to listen intently to see, Mike, who else she's dissing in this album.
Could she maybe you're misinterpreting Orange. She's talking about Patrick Mahomes' wife holding in her fame. And that's the scrub she's referring to.
Coming up, Trey says, "I want to be here, but I just want to win." What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Guys said goodbye today as the Hawks had their exit interviews. We'll let you hear more what DeJounte Murray had to say as well. And the Hawks hire someone in their front office. Steve Coonan's on the way. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.